And now, stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who is guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. Famous Go Farther Gasoline invite you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things. For I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story, Whirlpool.
Marty South wasn't sure when it began. It was too much like walking in the middle of a nightmare, and then remaining there, living in it. The shipwreck, the confusion, it was all there again, coming back to him, but slowly, hazily. There was a strange buzzing in Marty's ears, pressure, the sound of the sea, whirlpool of confusion. Gradually out of the whirlpool, voices, dimly, faintly at first, voices, growing, coming closer, and closer.
You coming around?
Be all right, Captain. The shot. Be good.
But through it all, one thing seemed clear to Marty South, in focus. Those few swift minutes before the ship heeled over on its side, before he leaped for the lifeboat and missed. There was a girl. Yes, a girl standing in the companionway just outside her cabin. Marty remembered her face, her fair skin, her clear eyes, wild as he shouted at her frantically.
Don't stand there. Get up to the deck, the lifeboat.
Boat? Oh, yes, I was just...
Wait a minute. Is anybody inside in the cabin?
Cabin? No. No, I'm alone.
Then go on. Up those stairs. There isn't much time. Hurry.
I got you in time. Can you hear me? I'm the ship's captain. You're on board the SS Aragon, bound for Singapore.
SS Aragon?
That's right.
Singapore.
Here. Try to drink this, Mr. Hastings.
I'm all right. I made it.
You sure did, Hastings.
Hastings?
There couldn't be any mistake about his identity, Captain.
Huh?
Oh, no. No, that's who he is. He's Hastings, Doctor. There's no doubt about it. His wife identified him.
Oh.
Could you get her to come in, Captain?
What? My wife? No, I...
No, just do that. You're suffering from shock, Mr. Hastings. Exhaustion and severe shock.
Oh, but...
Would you come in,
Mr.
Hastings?
My husband, is he all right, Captain?
Come in, please.
No. No, I don't have it.
You stop, Marty. The protest dying in your throat as you struggle up to one elbow. Look toward the door. It's the same girl, isn't it? The one you faced in the companionway and shouted at. But now she's coming towards you.
Darling.
Speaking differently. Very different.
My darling, I was so afraid for you, but I told them you'd talk to you when I told them who you were.
Why?
A doctor, she isn't delirious.
Don't worry, Mrs. Hastings.
Doc.
Yes, Mr. Hastings.
Can you
Leave us alone.
I'm sure
I want to be alone with my wife.
And certainly. Captain, we'll wait out on the deck.
Anything you say.
Okay. Now you want to tell me what this is all about?
But darling, you shouldn't try to talk.
Skip, but I can talk. So pick me out. I'm okay, so you can.
Of course you are.
My name's South. Like this, or in a full dress suit. It's South, Marty South.
It's a nice name. I like it.
That's fine. You were...
Mrs. Stephen Hastings of the Shanghai, Hastings. You can call me Lucy.
What about Mr. Hastings?
My husband is dead.
One that didn't make it?
One that didn't make it.
What happened to him? How come
I don't know. Stop asking me. Stop looking at me like that.
Like what?
My husband Stephen was like that. In the cabin when they first hit your arms. He just sat there staring at me, welcome.
Welcome what? Chance to die?
I don't know.
You couldn't get him out.
No,
couldn't
I
couldn't send anybody back here.
I didn't think of something like that happening. I couldn't.
Couldn't you have been thinking since?
Yes.
Plenty of them. Well, come on, I'm waiting.
My husband, Stephen, has some money for him. But waiting for him now in Singapore. Waiting for Mr. Hastings to pick it up. Any Mr. Hastings can do it. $20,000 now, $30,000 in a couple of weeks, $50,000 altogether. Half of it could be yours.
To begin with, how can you staff me off with your husband here on board? There were quite a few survivors, I think.
Nobody knew Stephen. He stayed in his cabin afterward. Most of the others were picked up by the police.
Well, you came in Singapore.
No, the police is heading to the United States and not a soul in Singapore.
Where's the money come from?
From an old friend in Shanghai. E.J. Galloway. On a business card, my husband. You see, E.J. made a mistake on a business deal in Singapore. I found out about it. I told Stephen what the last thing. He did. He got revenge.
Thanks, Jonathan. You must have felt great giving the old pal the black miracle.
Well, Stephen didn't have to do that. E.J. doesn't know we're the black man. He thinks Stephen is with go-between. See, let's pick up the money in Singapore and make the payoff there to a man who's never seen it. You see, Singapore is where he is. Black man, you know.
Nice guy, your
husband. He was, you can hear that, huh? But he's terrible weak. So he only got sick sometimes just thinking about it. About black men and those things.
Then why'd you go ahead with
it? He lied to me.
Why?
Oh, you don't know. I can be quite a deal.
Maybe to guys like Stephen Hastings.
But not to guys like Marty Sam.
You guessed it.
We'll see.
If you get lonesome for me, Dad.
Stephen. That's all right.
That's all, Marty, and then she's gone.
Leaving you to think it over.
But you know her time. Low steel is a man trap.
We figure she'll be back soon to try to help you make up your mind.
But that's where you make a mistake,
isn't it, Marty? She lets you rest and think. But first you find yourself strangely still.
Then you think some more and you decide not to say anything to them about her husband, Stephen Hastings.
Money is an important item to you, too, isn't it?
Yes. Half a day out of Singapore, you can't stand it anymore. You call the doctor and send for her.
Oh, you're sitting up, how wonderful.
Yeah, I'm doing better than that. Hey, can you see?
Oh?
You don't look as if you don't know why.
Yes, you do. And how nice when you say it.
Well, if you want to know what I discovered.
I know.
Yes, you like money.
No, I think you have to
know. You hit it with the first part. But get this. I know what I'm going into. To include you only because you're necessary to my immediate prosperity.
I'm very necessary, darling.
So is your having a husband, Steve. Okay, I'll keep my eyes for you.
Darling, I need you.
You're pretty smart, yeah. But here's something you don't know. Your husband made a big mistake when he fell in love with you. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I can't afford it.
Oh?
I never let love interfere with my
plan. Oh, baby. Everything all right, Mr. Hurricane?
Huh?
Oh, yes, fine, Doctor. Isn't it, dear?
Yes, so.
Sure it is. And don't worry, darling. Go for your bed. Everything's going to be so much better.
This being the first program in March, I'm reminded of that old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb. With Signal gasoline, it's just the other way around. It goes into your car as a clear liquid, innocent looking as a lamb. But once inside your engine, it generates the power of a lion. However, while Signal's power may be likened to that of a lion, you'll find your car's appetite for Signal gasoline is gratifyingly small. After all, gasoline that's engineered to help your engine run as efficiently as today's Signal naturally saves gas while you drive, saves with quick starting, saves with smooth pickup free from balking or hesitation, saves with full power that gets you into high gear fast, helps you stay there with a minimum of shifting on hills or in traffic. And of course, the more gasoline you save, the more mileage you enjoy, which explains Signal's good mileage. And the reason we say mileage and performance go hand in hand. To get both, get Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline.
Decision, didn't you, Marty, about Lucille Hastings and the money waiting for Stephen Hastings in Singapore. That day aboard ship, when she suddenly thrust opportunity into your hands by asking you to pose as her dead husband, Stephen Hastings. But there's another thing you've decided on, and that's more important than anything else. You're not going to make the same mistake he did, are you, Marty? No. You're not going to fall in love with Lucille. Because that doesn't fit in with your plans at all. Money is still the most important thing, isn't it? Even though you don't have very much of it at the moment, and you've never let a woman interfere, you've never let your heart rule your head where money is concerned. The first night in Singapore, the two of you moved easily around the dance floor of the Port Plaza Hotel. Seemingly the very devoted married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Hastings. Hmm?
You dance well, dear.
Stephen's learned to dance better?
Much better.
Maybe the poor guy was tired. He had a right to be.
I think we should stop talking about that.
Suits me. Come on back to the table. Let's talk about when we go to work.
All right.
The chair?
Thank you.
No, no.
Let's see. I think we'd best wait a day or two. You can go there Wednesday for the 15th. The second will be ready in a couple of weeks. EJ couldn't raise it all at once.
Where do I go?
Well, I'll have to look at EJ's letter again for the exact address. It's a little tailor shop somewhere on Ponderosa Street.
You don't have to look again. Not with that memory. It's a tailor shop. But why Wednesday?
No reason. I just think it's fair.
All right. Hmm. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. How did you all this mystery?
There isn't any mystery, I told
you. If Galloway stood still for a 50 grand shakedown, why didn't he just give it to you, send it to you direct? Why all this movie stuff?
This was my idea, not EJ's. You see, in case EJ couldn't raise the money, or change his mind, or decided to talk with the authorities, that would be much better for me if I was far away.
With me for a fall guy, if anything goes wrong here.
Well, nothing can go wrong here. There's no crime in having your post paid.
What do I do when I get to the store, Captain?
Well, you can just have your coat on. You can wait for it if you want to. Tell them you're Mr. Hastings.
But if they want proof.
They can call the hotel and ask Mrs. Hastings. But they won't. Oh, relax, then.
Sorry, I can't relax. Not until I've had my coat back. I want to get this coat pressed. I'll wait for the name Hastings.
Oh, yes.
And you're staying
the Port Plaza.
What?
Nothing, Mr. Hastings. Just curious.
If you were going to call or anything, my wife isn't there. She not
No, no, Mr. Hastings. Your coat, please. I'll take it for you right away.
Good.
You watch the proprietor of the little tailor shop as he takes his coat, moves off toward the back of the establishment. You look around nervously, ready to run for it if anything goes wrong. But nothing does. He's back in a matter of minutes, isn't he? Handing the newly pressed coat across the counter. You pay him and slip it on. Feel the bulge of a heavy envelope in the inside pocket.
Satisfactory, sir?
I think so.
Will you be dropping in again?
Yeah.
Perhaps if you'd call the day before.
Okay.
We'll give you quick service, sir. Good morning.
Half a block away, you open the envelope and look inside. It's there, isn't it? $20,000. You smile as you put it away. But there's still another payoff, another $30,000. It would be stupid of you to walk out now, wouldn't it? When your pulse quickens and you glance back, you're certain someone's following you, aren't you, Marty? And you realize that Lucille is still thinking as fast as ever. But you guess you might pick up the money a day early, not wait until winter. You turn, hurry down the street on your way back to the hotel.
You don't have to knock the door down. My own husband, what do the neighbors think?
Never mind, inside.
That's all the excitement.
What kind of a double cross is this? You had me followed, didn't you?
Did I?
That fat guy in a white suit. You gonna tell me what's going on?
When you calm down, you might tell me.
And I went there. It's like you said.
The tailor shop?
Yeah. Went through the whole routine.
Didn't they give you the money?
That's not the beef, Lucille. I'm talking about the guy who picked me up on the way out. One of your pals, huh? A high-powered insurance policy.
You're not making sense, darling. If somebody followed you, it's because you're in Singapore. Stay out of the alleys, darling, in rough neighborhoods. This is a big, bad city.
Wish I could buy that.
You can buy anything, Mr. Hastings. How much did you get?
$20,000. Yeah, it's in the envelope.
Pretty, isn't it? Darling.
Yeah?
Speaking of double crosses, I thought I told you not to go to the tailor shop until Wednesday. It's only Tuesday. All right, I'll forgive you this time.
Will you?
I'll try.
What are you thinking? Something pretty foolish. But sometimes you'd really like to level.
Mom. Darling, put your arms around me.
What, so I can hold on to the sleigh ride?
I wouldn't take you on a sleigh ride, wouldn't you?
You'd take anybody on me.
Marty.
Too bad it's not the keeps, Lucille. Tomorrow it could be a knife in my back.
Well, if it's if you want me to sleep, but let's go now, Marty.
Your mind is spinning as you leave her, Marty. You're afraid, aren't you? Because the one thing you've tried to guard against is happening. Slowly, surely, you're falling for her. And you know what it can mean. You don't do anything about it the next day or in the days that follow. Just go along, trying to keep your head above water. Then one night, as you walk alone through the streets of Singapore, you catch sight of him again, a man she's had following you. Hurry forward, turn into an alley, and stop. Wait.
Here I am, Mr.
What
do you want?
Just a moment, Mr. Hastings. I just wanted to talk it over.
Talk what over?
Why, the deal. I thought maybe you'd changed your mind the way you've been acting, avoiding me. Of course, this is a crazy setup.
Oh?
I naturally thought you were going to meet me here when you got in last week and set it all up.
naturally, but... Well, I almost forgot what you looked like.
You didn't know what I looked like. You never saw me before. You made the deal with the man I worked for, remember?
I think you'd better keep talking, Mr...
Gray is good enough. Mr. Gray.
Might be.
Oh, I don't blame you for being careful, Mr. Hastings. Our deal like this. But how does this sound to you? You take your wife to the Red Angel Cafe tomorrow night. Just casually have dinner with her, the last one. Then stroll out on the terrace.
Terrace?
Yes. Hardly anyone ever there. Just give me a chance to get lined up and then light her cigarette. The match will give me a target. An easy one.
What do you know? Stephen.
It hits you suddenly. Stephen Hastings, the weakling. He'd actually set up a plan to kill her at the end of the voyage. A plan that he was too weak to go through with. Perfect, isn't it? You can get rid of Lucille tomorrow night. And a few days later, you can drop around to the tailor shop, pick up the rest of the money, and leave town. But you're not sure that this is the way you want it to be, are you? Not even for $50,000.
What is the matter, Mr. Hastings? You haven't changed your mind.
Changed my mind? I would like a little more time to think it over.
I've been doing some thinking. I want the $5,000 you agreed on, Mr. Hastings.
$5,000. Okay, we'll get it.
Yes. Please leave it in your hotel box. Small, new bill. Cash.
Yes, sure. It's great.
Good.
If the money's in the box. Tomorrow night, you'll see us, my wife and me, at the Red Angel Cafe.
On the terrace?
Yes. And to light the cigarette.
That is right, Mr. Hastings. And take your time thinking it over. It's quite a decision for a man to make. In your position, I don't blame you. You sleep on it. I don't mind waiting a little longer.
And you do think it over, don't you, Marty? All night and all the next day. It's the hardest decision you've ever had to make. You remember Lucille's beauty, her lovely voice, the fun you've had together during the little time you've known her, pleasant times you might have in the future. Then you remember her husband, Stephen, how she persuaded him to blackmail his best friend, how callous she was about her husband's death after the shipwreck. You recall how she lied to you at the time of the shipwreck when you asked her if there was anyone else in the cabin. And that lie made certain your husband's death. You also remember something else. The $20,000 she has. And the $30,000 she's expecting in a few days. That evening...
Darling, how did you know about this place?
The Red Angel?
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody mention it. Like it?
Very much. And I like you for joining me.
Lucille, I...
You want to talk? Well, come on.
Where are we going?
Out on the terrace.
Oh, but... Oh, okay. The terrace.
Can you see the lights in the harbor? Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marty, you were going to tell me something, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
I think I know what it is. You know, Marty, you're not like Stephen at all. You're anything but me. Except when it comes to putting this sort of thing in the ears. Oh, give me a cigarette, Tom.
What?
Give me a cigarette. Anything wrong with that?
No. Nothing wrong. See ya.
Thank you, Marty. You know, just the way you're looking at me, tells me something. You do love me, don't you?
I don't know. Do I?
Oh, would you give me a light?
Thank you,
darling.
Because the past several months of cold weather have been particularly tough on car batteries, here is some news that's worth remembering. There's now available an improved type battery which is not only much more powerful, but lasts far longer. I'm referring to the new Signal Deluxe battery, available only at Signal service stations. Unlike ordinary batteries, which may be guaranteed for 12 or 18 months, Signal Deluxe batteries are guaranteed a full 30 months on a service basis. Also, Signal Deluxe batteries deliver up to 35% more power to give you quick, dependable starting and to take care of the many electrical gadgets on modern cars. The secret of this superior performance in Signal Deluxe batteries is their superior construction, which includes the latest micro-porous all-rubber separators, plus an improved design all-rubber case, which doesn't need water as often. When you take into account the generous trade-in allowance Signal dealers are now giving for old batteries, plus their convenient credit terms, you can see why more new batteries at the same station, where they fill up with the famous Go Farther gasoline, at Signal Station.
It was like a whirlpool, the shipwreck, the swirling waters. Marty South, fighting his way through the sea, awakened to find a new life and wealth placed in his hands by Lucille Hastings. But somehow, in the police station of Singapore, that part of the story was a little concerning as the arresting officers huddled around a man sitting under the glaring white light.
Come on, Gray. We know you did it.
No.
You've been followed since you asked for that money in Hastings' hotel box. The clerk didn't like your look.
And Mr. Hastings gave me the money. He left it for me.
What was it for? The killing?
No.
Gray, you were seen firing the gun. How do you think he arrested you so quickly?
I did it. But it was Hastings' idea. That's what the money was for.
But why did
he... I guess Hastings was just tired of everything. He was a weakling. Suicide's been on his mind for months, only he didn't have the nerve. So he hired us, me, to do it for him.
But why his wife?
How do I know? He was crazy about her, I guess. Didn't want anyone else to have her. That's the only reason I can think of why Hastings set up this thing. So they'd both die together.
Signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at the same time. Signal has asked me to remind you that today the Red Cross must not only be prepared to save lives and relieve suffering in any disaster that may occur anywhere in this country. In addition, it must provide blood and other needed help for our GIs overseas. Good reason why this year the Red Cross needs more of us to help and more help from each of us. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman as the Whistler, Jack Moyle, Betty Lou Gerson, Ted Von Elk, Raymond Burr, and Byron Kane. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Joel Malone, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Whistler was entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember to tune in at this same time next Sunday when the Signal Oil Company will bring you another strange story by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. Stay tuned now for our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.